This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
Bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. Jesus is the word, and Jesus is the truth. And this is Sherry, America's missionary messenger. So America, let's hear God's message. Please open your Bibles to Psalm 118, verse 17, where we left off last time. Psalm 118, verse 17. Over a year ago, we began this great book of Psalms, chapter 1, verse every line. It's an awesome experience. We're in now what is called the Deuteronomy book of Psalms, and Deuteronomy in the Hebrew means these are the words, and these are the words of God. Now, this psalm tonight, Psalm 118, is a part of a section of Psalms 113 through 118, which are called the Hallel Psalms. Hallel is Hebrew for praise the Lord. And they are always to be sung at Passover. Now remember that Paul said Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Jesus is the Passover lamb. So since Jesus is the Word, and he wrote the Bible, and is the chief musician, at the Last Supper, when Jesus said, I have desired to eat this Passover, they would have sung these songs. Remember the scripture says they sang in him and went out? So let's picture Jesus sitting there. He's about to go out and pay our sin debt to be crucified. And he's singing these words. And they started in 113. And this will be the last 118 of the Hallel Psalms before he goes out the door and becomes that sacrifice for our sins. Now, Christians, it's time we grow up. Let's stop thinking about ourselves and think about Jesus. This is God about to pay the sacrifice. He's singing the song he inspired the psalmist to write. And his word comes true. And he is God, Emmanuel, God with us. Let us focus tonight on Jesus and his reaction to this.
17. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord.
Praise God. There he says, okay, I know I'm about to pay the sin debt. They're going to kill my body, but I shall not die. You know why? Because the wages of sin is death. But Jesus knew no sin. And so even though they would crucify his body, if you are holy and there's no sin on you, you cannot die. I shall live and you shall live forever and declare the wonderful works of God. Don't you know his own word encouraged him?
18, the Lord hath chastened me sore.
Now, they took him out on the cross there. They bound him. They nailed him to a cross. They plucked his beard out, put a thorn of crowns in his head. The old thorn tree, the devil, laughed at that. And they beat him with 39 stripes. And it looked like God was punishing Jesus. Everybody said so. Even in Psalm 22, Jesus was teaching from the cross. And they cried out and said, oh, look, God is doing this to Jesus. You know, that's what they said about Job. His friends said, you've sinned, Job. And that's what they always say about one of God's people on the front line in battle who's just dodging those fiery darts because the devil wants to get you out of the way. But he wasn't suffering because he had sinned. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed.
But he hath not delivered me over unto death.
Now, we know Hebrews 2:14, Jesus says, I came to this earth to defeat death, whose name is the devil. And Revelation 12 says the devil's name is death. Now, Jesus is using covert activity because to defeat death, he, the sinless one, had to die because death cannot hold a sinless person. So he allows himself to death, Mr. Devil, to kill him, to kill his body. But Jesus is the victory because when he did that, the devil had killed an innocent man. And so therefore, Jesus defeated death once and for all. And if your sins are forgiven, death cannot touch you. You shall not die, but live and declare the wonderful works of God.
19, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord.
And so as Jesus took that last breath, he said, it is finished. And his body crumpled on the cross. But Jesus was not dead. His spirit went into the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God sat upon the Ark of the Covenant. There was a great big high and wide and thick curtain that separated the people from God. Jesus went to the top of it. No man could reach it. And he ripped it from top to bottom because no man could do that. And he said, I am the door. I am the gate. I open the way to you. Now, your password is Jesus. Now you may go into the gates of Almighty God, Abba, Father, Daddy, and go back to Father who sent you here in the first place, back to Father's house. There is no other way. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the door.
20, this gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter.
Now, only the righteous people can go into the presence of God. So you say, well, I don't feel very righteous. Righteous means the dark, holy ones. Well, Jesus shed his blood for the remission of our sins. Now, when you try to go into Father's house, even in prayer, you can't get in prayer with sin. But see, if you've repented of your sins, you've confessed them and asked forgiveness, and you believe that Jesus paid the sin debt and arose from the dead, God looks at you through rose-colored glasses. He sees the rose-colored, rich red blood of Jesus, and he sees Jesus painted on you, and he calls you righteousness. Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. So only the righteous can go in. Do you know what the Bible says that the saints of God, the children of God who live eternally, are going to be called? The holy ones.
21, I will praise thee because thou hast heard me.
Now, Jesus went to the cross and he needed a little strength to endure the 6 hours. Six in biblical numerics means depraved man. He was paying sin for all mankind, whosoever will may come. And Psalm 22 tells us that in verse 24, when he, Jesus, cried, he, God the Father, heard him. Psalm 22, verse 24, it says, he did not despise the affliction of the afflicted one, but when he cried, he heard him, and he did not hide his face from him. See, that's God the Father looking upon the afflicted one, Jesus, and not despising him. It says he, God the Father, in the Hebrew, that's God El, heard the afflicted one, the Son, cry, and he heard him. And then it says God the Father, God El, did not hide his face from him. It just looked like God had forsaken him. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you if your sins are forgiven. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you.
And art become my salvation.
Jesus' name in the Hebrew, Yahweh's Savior. Jesus is our Savior. He came to this world to save us from our sins.
22, the stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner.
Now, Jesus quoted this very psalm in Mark 12. He was addressing the descendants of Cain. They're called the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. And Cain is the child of the devil. Now, they were pretending to be our beloved brother Judah, whom we love very much, and they were giving Jesus a hard time. And, of course, they rejected Jesus then on the cross. We did esteem him despised and rejected of men. He came to his own, but they refused him. So Jesus would often tell a little parable that was written in the great prophetic book of Isaiah chapter 5. Jesus loved to tell those pretenders to the priesthood this story. He said, an husbandman had a vineyard, and he put a watchtower in it, and he built a wine press so he could make good fruit, and he rented it out to tenant farmers. And the husbandman said, I'm going to send people to check to see if there's any good grape juice. And once in a while, they'll come and see if it's okay. So the husbandman sent prophets, and those wicked tenant farmers killed the prophets. And then the husbandman said, the owner of the vineyard, I know, I'll send my son. They'll respect my son. They'll accept my son. They'll let him in. But those wicked tenant farmers killed the son. He was rejected and despised of men. But he arose from the dead, and he's coming back again. And he's going to be the chief cornerstone. Commander-in-chief is Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah.
23, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
To go from the humiliation, as he sings there, the Passover psalm, the Hallel songs, this last one before he goes out into the humiliation of being nailed to a cross, and he sees down the corridors of time that he would arise from the dead, that he would come back from humiliation to exaltation. Only God could do that.
24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Well, what day is that? On the first day of the week, the Mary ladies, who were not very merry, came to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body with spices. And they said, who's going to roll away the stone? And when they got there, the stone was rolled away, and a young man sat on the stone. A young man is an angel, and they were afraid. And he said unto them, don't be afraid, fear not. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is not here, as he said. Duh. That was a happy day. Now there's a great day coming. Soon and very soon the sixth trumpet shall sound and the Antichrist shall appear. He is the devil with his Jesus costume on. He will deceive the whole world and half the body of Christ. But for those of us who know that he is not the real one, for those of us who don't fall off into that lie, who wait for the seventh trump, at the seventh trump, real Jesus is coming, and that's called the day of the Lord. Peter says a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and that's when the day of the Lord, the 1,000 years of the millennium teaching will begin. I pray some of you get to be the Zadok teachers.
25, save now, O Lord, I beseech thee. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity.
Now Jesus is there singing this, send now eternal life. Save now in the Hebrew is Hosanna. And in a few hours before his crucifixion, before this Last Supper, Jesus was riding on a lowly donkey into Jerusalem. Zechariah speaks of it as well as the Gospels. And they placed palm trees in his path. Palm means victory. And they said, Hosanna, save now. Now, those were supposed to be God's people saying, save now. But do you know what those self-centered children of God wanted? They weren't interested in the eternal salvation, the eternal back to Father's house. They wanted this man, Jesus, to take over the fleshly reign and get the Roman government's boot off their neck, and to give them promotions and give them positions and give them wealth and give them houses. How many times do we come to Jesus just because we get the whole plan? Don't be so myopic. There's a whole grand plan here. It's called the mystery of God. And it's far greater than your little tiny little world. He cares about your world. He cares about the sparrow. But you want to be big enough to see the whole picture. Hosanna, save now.
26, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. 27, God is the Lord, which hath showed us light.
Light, Jesus came into the world. He is that light. Light is truth. You know, the Bible says Jesus covers himself with light. You know, he's got to be pretty big. He wears light like a garment. Start looking at the light in the sky as though you were seeing a part of Jesus. He's the light of the world.
Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horn of the altar.
Precious Jesus is about to be bound with cords. He is the sacrifice. 1 Corinthians 7:5, Christ our Passover is sacrifice for us. It was their custom before Jesus paid the sacrifice to take the animal and bind him to the horns of the altar so he couldn't escape. And Jesus was about to become that sacrifice. Now, after Jesus paid that sacrifice, we don't have to offer any other sacrifice. His was sufficient once and for all. Now what you want to do when you go to Father's throne, he wants the sacrifice of love. Hosea 6:6, I don't want your burnt offerings. I want your mercy, which is translated back into love. And here's something else he wants. I want you to understand my word. So see, that's not one verse in 3 points. That's not a tradition of men. That's not a denomination. That's not one verse out of context. It's Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, which contains the entire plan of God, even back to the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, the age that then was when Satan rebelled. Hallelujah.
28, thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. 29, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.
Now, his mercy could not endure forever had Jesus not gone out that door and let them crucify him, and had he not risen from the dead. We learned that the word of God endures forever. We've learned that his truth endures forever. And we just heard that his mercy, that means his love, unmerited favor, grace endures forever. See, eons and eons of time from now, for those of you who are saved and with the Father, back with the Father, heaven on earth, he's not going to change his mind and say, I think I'm going to withdraw my mercy. His mercy endureth forever. Now, that completes the Hallel Songs 113 to 118 to be sung at Passover. Now we come into Psalm 119. It's still in the Deuteronomy section. These are the words. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. And last time we had the shortest chapter, Psalm 117. Psalm 119 has 176 verses, and these 176 verses are divided into 22 sections, and there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Each section has a title of one of these Hebrew letters. Like we would say A, B, C. In the Hebrew, it's Aleph, Beth, Gimel, so forth like that. In each one of these alphabetical sections, there are 8 lines, 8 new beginnings. And each one of those 8 lines begins with that particular letter of the alphabet. This is an acrostic song because God, the way he has arranged this from the Hebrew alphabet, also because he has 10 hidden words in this 176, all of these verses. The 10 words relate to the 10 commandments, and they are way, testimonies, precepts, judgment, commandments, law, righteousness, testimonies, statutes, and last of all, word. They are the word. Okay? Now, I want you to listen because you're going to hear those words in every line, 176 lines, except one. And when we get to that one, we will tell you the exception there. Now, the first section is Aleph. This is the, it would be equivalent to our A. This is the first section, Aleph. It's A in the Hebrew alphabet. And this whole chapter, 119, is entitled The Word of God as it relates to man and how man is supposed to respond to the Word of God. You're not supposed to sit there dead. That's God talking to you. And Aleph means the quickening of the written word. Quickening means make alive. If the Word of God is in you, you will not be a dead person. You will not be lukewarm. You will be on fire. Fire will be in your belly. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, you know in Proverbs chapter 4, around 22, 23, it says, My son, attend unto my voice, incline thine ears unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Aleph, the quickening, the making alive of the written word. I actually saw a dead man come alive when I read the word of God over him. There.
Psalm 119, Aleph, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way.
This blessed is so great in the Hebrew. Oh, how great the happiness. Now, all of you want to be happy. And look at you. Look how happy you are. Oh, how great the happiness. Undefiled means sincere. And the way is Jesus. Jesus is the word. So the way is Jesus and the Bible. Oh, how great the happiness of those who are sincere in the way, is the way it reads in the original manuscripts.
Who walk in the law of the Lord.
Now, law is interchangeable. That's one of the 10 words. Always check these words. This is your acrostic. This is God's secret message to you. Law means the word. In other words, he says, how great the happiness if you walk in his word. You don't just hear it. You actually do it. As I said, it's been about a year ago we started this book of Psalms, and the first one is, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, that's the word of God, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Some of you are not happy. You're not meditating in the word. You're meditating on your problems, or you're meditating on a book or a quarterly or one verse and 3 points or denomination or what she said or he said. The word of God is the only solid thing you have. Jesus is the living word, and this Aleph is the quickening of the written word. Both are alive.
Verse 2, Blessed are they that keep his testimony and that seek him with the whole heart.
The word keep there is a beautiful Hebrew word. It's shamar. I'm surprised some woman has not named her daughter Shamar. Shamar, it means to hedge about, to guard. And the statutes there means that they would be engraved as in stone. And it says, when you seek him with your whole heart. The Bible tells us that whatever you do, do with your whole heart, with all your might, as unto the Lord. I can't help how boring, how mundane your job is. From now on in, go in the morning and know that you're going to work for God. See, it gets a whole different perspective. I did this. I worked my way through college. I've always worked. I had some of the dumbest jobs, the horrible jobs. I was treated badly. But I just said, I'm going to work for the Lord. You can make an adventure out of building barbed wire fences if you will turn it over to the Lord. It's up to you. It's an inside job. And so, see, you can, with all your heart. And if you're going to be a Christian, I want you to stop being dead Christian. I want you to go all out. I want you to be a soul winner. You need to know every word of God. Study to show yourself approved. You need to know the mystery, the three earth ages, the seduction of the garden, the order of the trumps, the Mamzars, the Kenites. Oh, my Lord, it's all in there. It's in the Bible. In other words, don't, if Jesus says, be hot or cold, don't be lukewarm. Jesus says, you make me vomit, I spew you out of my mouth. Whatever you do with your whole heart. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, King David was about to turn the baton of the kingdom over to his 19-year-old son Solomon. And he said, my son, if you will seek the Lord and seek him with all your heart, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, you will be cast off forever. See, Jesus says, ask, seek. Knock, seek, seek. That's what happened to me. I was saved, I was called, knew that from a child. I always knew there was something more. And if you really want God, he'll give you himself. And he'll give you more and more of himself. And he'll reveal his truth to you. But it must be sincere.
Three, they also do no iniquity.
Now, they do no sin is what he says here. Now, you say, well, wait just a minute. Everybody messes up. Of course, everybody messes up once in a while. The meaning of this, they do no iniquity, those people who walk in the Word and are living in the Word and happy in the Word and permeated with the Word, and it's piercing them, singing it, praying it, living it, talking it, and it's just everything about them. In the Epistle of John, he says they do no sin. It doesn't mean that you do not occasionally fall off, even though you're totally dedicated, totally going to the Word of God. The flesh is weak. Here's what it means. You would not be an habitual sinner. If there's something in your life that you are not doing, and you habitually don't do it, and you know you ought to do it, then you're not in this category. Repent of that, even though you're a Christian, and come on over and be one of these who does no iniquity. It would mean you wouldn't habitually sin. If there's something in your life you're doing and you know you need to stop doing it, I can't help how hard it is. I understand. I have troubles too. You just stop at the help of the Lord, and he'll help you there. Don't go there anymore. Don't do that anymore. Don't look at that anymore. Don't open that door anymore. Don't be an habitual sinner. Because, see, then he begins to question your salvation. Now, don't misunderstand. Every Christian, no matter how good we are, sometimes we slip. But that's not what he's talking about here. You would not habitually sin. You would correct that. And I want to talk to y'all. Omission is a great sin in the Christian church. You know perfectly well there are things, situations that you need to do and be and help. And you just go on with your four and no more. Sin.
You walk in his ways. For thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently.
I love that word, diligently. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Diligent means very faithful. Proverbs says that the diligent hand shall bear rule. And it says, see a man diligent in his business. In other words, whatever you do, it doesn't matter how dumb your job is, how you hate it. See a man diligent in his business. He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. And Proverbs says, a diligent hand beareth rule, and the diligent man procureth favor. As Paul says, instant, in season, out of season. You're not here one day and there. Find your place to serve and serve. I have a saying, I will do the best I can with what I have, where I am, for Jesus' sake today. My place just flooded before all of you came in. Look at me doing the best I can. Hallelujah. This is going to go out of the whole world. See, that's what I mean. That's diligent. I could have easily put a sign on the door saying, we're flooded. We can't have service today. And I'm not bragging on me. I'm just saying I live this. You live it too. Do what you're supposed to do. Be faithful. Be on time. Be faithful. Be committed. Be dedicated. God cannot use Seesaw, Marjorie, all kind of people, no matter how sweet you are. Everybody has a place. Find it and get there and be there. Be dependable. Be diligent. Blessings, blessings. You procure favor.
Five, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Six, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments.
Okay, the word ashamed there means confused. The book of Revelation speaks of mystery Babylon. Babylon means confusion. Soon and very soon, the Antichrist is coming. Again, he's the devil with his Jesus costume on. And he's going to deceive the whole world, Revelation 13. The whole world will go after him whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Half the church, the body of Christ, will follow him. And then, when they realize, as the elect are delivered up to him to testify, when they hear the truth, they're going to be ashamed and call for the mountains to fall upon them because they do love Jesus. Why did he say he would not be ashamed? Why would he not be confused? Because he walks in the Word of God. You see, the Word of God tells you the sixth trumpet comes before the seventh trumpet. The Word of God tells you the chronological order of events. The Word of God tells you what air means, breath of the Spirit, not atmosphere. The Word of God has it all. Walk in that and you won't be confused. God's not the author of confusion.
Seven, I will praise thee with a brightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment.
Did you notice what the psalmist did? By the way, this 119 is considered anonymous, but we're going to get a clue that good King Hezekiah wrote it. He says, I'm going to serve you when I learn your word. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The sermons are so beautiful. They make them great, but you'd have to live 700 years with one sermon every Sunday. Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, book, chapter, verse, and line. It wasn't written in English. Find somebody who can study from the manuscripts, but it must be anointed by Holy Spirit. Study. You will never waste your time by studying God's Word. We study all the time. Why do we do that? That's God's voice, to hear his voice. He wrote that. It's God-breathed. It's alive. This whole Olive section here, 119, is called the quickening of the written word. You never waste one drop of time to study God's word. You know why? Because the Bible says the word endureth forever. And if you're in the word, you'll endure forever.
Amen. Eight, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly.
Utterly means in any way. And if you will seek him with all your heart, you will be found of him. And if you are diligent and faithful and do not habitually sin, you obey him and let him use you and yield to him and die to yourself and give all to him, he will use you. And then he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. Now, next time we'll pick it up there with the B of the Hebrew alphabet, which is called Beth. But right now, it's time for Mystery Moment. Paul speaks of the mystery of God. Jesus comes at the seventh trump. Very soon, the sixth trump will sound. That'll be the Antichrist, the devil with his Jesus costume on. We are now in the fifth trump, which is a time of learning, which is why God's got me speaking to you, to help you learn. God bless you. So may we hear the fifth trumpet of truth, please. Questions and answers. Okay, question number one. Dear Sherry Trumpet, excuse me, in Genesis 6, I understand that when it says the sons of God, there in Genesis 6, that the Hebrew word is Nephilim, the fallen angels. And I understand that they married the beautiful daughters of the man Adam, and that the children were a hybrid called Geba. You taught us that, Sherry, and they were the giants. But what I don't understand is how can an angel impregnate a human woman? Okay, let's first define the word angel. We had it in the lesson today. An angel is a young man. All right? Now, Jesus says in heaven we are as the angels. A little while ago, I was playing the piano and singing, and God is a spirit, and he says to worship him in spirit and in truth. I was worshiping him in spirit, but I felt his hand on my head. The spirit body, the angelic body, has substance. Just stop thinking of Casper the ghost, okay? Okay, dear Sherry, in Revelation 6, there's a magnificent looking rider coming on a white horse with a bow around his neck. Is that Jesus coming again? No, 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 no. That's the imposter. That is Satan. He comes at the sixth trump. Anti doesn't mean he's against Christ. It means the instead of Christ. He's going to pretend to be him. Daniel says he's coming in peacefully and safely, cause craft to prosper. Now, what about that bow about his neck? Well, in earlier chapter in Revelation, we had a picture of Jesus, and Jesus has a bow around his head in sight like unto an emerald, which is a symbol of the wife of Jesus. So I told you that the Antichrist is the devil with his Jesus costume on. So Satan made himself a costume, a bow. You know what bow means in the Greek? Toxin. It means a cheap fabric imitation. So make you think he's Jesus. He took cheap fabric imitation. He's an imitator. And he fixed him a costume to look like the real Jesus. So when he comes, you'll think he's Jesus. There you have it. See, all of you have been hearing me say the devil is coming with his Jesus costume on. I say I got that from the Bible. Everything I tell you, I got from the Bible. Dear Sherry, what do you think about all of these balls being deflated? Okay, here's what I think. I think that the worship in America of the ball is greatly overinflated. Let's deflate our love and worship for the ball, and let's inflate our love for Jesus and the Bible. You know what's interesting? Baal, the devil, in the Bible, his name is spelled B-A-A-L. And ball is spelled B-A-L-L. Now, Super Sunday, I'll tell you, you're going to find the chairs empty. Anything, anyone, any activity, any person, place, or thing that you spend more thought, more passion, more love, more energy on is an idol. So let's just keep the ball game back where it ought to be, just for fun. Okay, what we got here, dear Sherry, 2 Thessalonians 2, it says that we will not gather back to Jesus until the Son of Man, the Son of Perdition, be revealed, standing in the holy place, standing in the temple, calling himself God. Who is the man of sin? Well, the answer is the man of sin is a son of perdition. What does perdition mean? To perish. In Ezekiel chapter 28, round about verses 17, 18, 19, right in there, the devil, who was pretending to be King Tyrus, which means rock, which means fake rock, was sentenced by God to perish. Perdition means perish, to turn to ashes from within. In Revelation chapter 9, the king of the bottomless pit, who is the Antichrist, is also described as Apollyon. Apollyon in the Greek means perdition, to perish. So the man of sin, the son of perdition, is the devil, the Antichrist, with his Jesus costume on. Don't forget the bow. Okay. Dear Sherry, well then, since he's coming back and standing in the holy place, in the temple, does that mean that the temple has to be rebuilt? No, it does not. Here's the answer from the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 16 and 17 says of you, Christian, ye are the temple of the living God. And it says, the temple of the Lord is holy, whose temple you are. Remember, 2 Thessalonians is going to stand in the holy place, the temple calling himself a God. Jesus right now, for those of you who love him, sits as the king on the throne of your heart. When the Antichrist comes, the whole world, he will sit in their hearts. But for Christians, they are going to think he's Jesus. And so he comes and sits in the many-membered body of Christ, the temple, for those who are deceived. I hope that helps you there. Time for one more question. This comes from Keandra of Coco. And Keandra had said, who is a biracial person supposed to marry? She's referring to the Hebrew word, which I had taught her some segments back, Mamzar. And she had asked if it is all right to mix the races. Now, God loves all the races. Genesis 1, when he male and female made he them, the Hebrew word humankind, madam. Human, Adam, means mankind in general. red, yellow, brown, black, and white. God said it's very good. He loves all the races. That ends prejudice right there. He loves them all. But he did say do not mix the seed. God is an artist, and an artist wants to keep that color strong. Now, he gives us some an answer to this, Keandra, in Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. Deuteronomy 23, verse 2 says, now, he's going to use the word bastard here, but in the manuscripts, it means mamzar. A mamzar is a child who has parents of two different races. Remember, he said not to mix the seed. So he says, a bastard, but you know it means mamzar, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord until the 10th generation. He shall not enter into the congregation, meaning it takes 10 generations, umbilical cord to umbilical cord, if you start with just one race and keep that race pure to have it clean. That does not mean a mamzar cannot be saved. God says whosoever will may come, but he has his priorities, and he said not to mix the seed. So if you plan to marry and you are a mamzar, God loves you, you can be saved. So you take it up with God. All I can do is give you the scripture, and God bless you and love you. It's not a sin that you are a mamzar. There are, in other words, you'll just have to ask God about that. That lineage could be purified to 10 generations, Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. Now, for those of you who are sick, Jesus took 39 stripes on his back. And he says in his Bible, with Jesus' stripes I am healed. Now, for those of you, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, let the healing virtue of Jesus flow out to everyone listening. I speak to all pain. Be gone in the name and the power of Jesus. I say cancers, be gone in the name of Jesus. Arthritis, deaf ears hear, blind eyes see, crippled legs walk, livers, kidneys, be healed. Hey, Son of Righteous, arise with healing in his wings. Heal, O Lord. You send your word and heal them. Thank you, Father. We appreciate that in Jesus' name. Now, you may call me on my voicemail for prayer for healing. My announcer will give you my number at the end of this program. I am not able to return long-distance calls. I do this for free, and I have to pay commercial rates, so even just to be, it's costing me a lot to have a phone. I'm so sorry about that, but just leave your name, speak clearly, leave your prayer request, and I will pray for you. Now, I want to invite each of you to come here on Sunday, 5 p.m. here at my school, and Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. here at my school, Sherry Medlock School, 916 Florida Avenue, Cocoa, Florida. Now, for all of you who are not sure you're saved, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I have sinned.
Forgive me of my sins.
Forgive me of my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Forgive me, save me.
Forgive me, save me.
Fill me with your spirit.
Fill me with your spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
Use me.
Use me.
I love you.
I love you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, confession is made into salvation. You might like to also call me and tell me you've been saved. 321-632-4631. Again, the answer will give you that again. Now remember this, when you think of Yeshua, Jesus, his name is called the Word of God. I love you, God bless you, and see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Majesty and displayed for all the world to see. Is it any wonder? Is it any wonder? The glory of your holiness, the mercy of your faithfulness. Is it any wonder? Is it any wonder?